Would be wide awake. So as I mentioned, for the next few weeks, we'll be looking at the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians is a beautiful, wonderful epistle. It's got four chapters, which is convenient, four chapters for 4 weeks. And so I would encourage you, over the next 4 weeks, you can take it in little chunks and read one chapter a week, or you can just sit down and read the whole thing. You could be done in 45 minutes with a cup of coffee. I thought it was a wonderful book to just dive into with our time together. It talks about Christian living, and we're going to spend the next 4 weeks talking about different aspects of Christian living. And as I mentioned with the kids, today we are going to try some interactive things. We won't do those things every single Sunday, but I thought we would experiment a little bit for the next 4 weeks to think about what would it be like to have a worship space with all ages engaged together. So we have this mural that we're doing today and putting together next week, and then the following week, let me think, is, yes, paper airplanes will be flying from the balcony. It's going to happen. And then the fourth week, we're going to do a gratitude tree. And then we'll see what God does in our midst next. So hear now these words from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. This is Paul talking, and Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in all of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing, your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think about this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as I mentioned, we are talking about partnership today and about love, our common love together. Now I want to tell you a story about a colleague of mine who did ministry with a lot of youth. And when you do ministry to youth, then they grow up and become young adults. And this minister was at a stage in his career where he was doing a lot of weddings. Not just like one wedding a weekend. I'm talking 3, 4, 6 weddings in a weekend. And he told this story about how one time he was doing a wedding and he realized that coming in down the aisle, he didn't know the bride's name. He knew the groom's name because this was somebody, I guess, who was in his youth group or college group, but he didn't know the bride's name. And he thought to himself, okay, I can handle this. So he's trying to take a little peek at the bulletin, looking through his papers. Oh, no, he doesn't have a bulletin. So as he told the story, he said, then I decided to get my Shakespeare on. So he says to the bride, when she gets to the front, by what name does thou come into this holy temple? And now she is panicking because this was not a part of the rehearsal. And so he says, she looks and says, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oops. So I tell that for 2 reasons this morning. The first, because church community can be weird and unpredictable and messy. Sometimes things don't turn out exactly as you hope. Sometimes we hope for silence and there's a little bit of noise. Sometimes you hope for something to happen just in one way and it doesn't. And this, I guess I have 3 reasons to tell you this story. The second is that ministers are never perfect. Let's just get that off the table right now. They're never perfect. They always make mistakes. And then third, that story is especially dear to me, as I'm saying to so many of you, remind me of your name again. Remind me of your name again. And I don't want you to take it to heart. If we've had a conversation even and then I still don't remember your name, I will, I promise. But I keep asking because I need to know and internalize everybody's name. But one name I do remember and I did get to know this week is the name of Jerry Salchow. Am I saying the last name right? Salchow. I got to meet Jerry this week, and we had a beautiful conversation. Am I right that she's the only charter member of our church that's with us still? Is that correct? Yeah, that's what I thought. And we were chatting about this place. We had a wonderful talk about history and trying to dig up some of our historical documents. And so we're going to go on a treasure hunt for those, I think, to try and find them. But the thing that really stood out to me about our visit that fits with today's passage is at the end of the visit, I said, Jerry, how should we pray together? What should we pray for? And she said, I always pray for my church. And it reminds me of Paul's prayer, right? Paul has a prayer for his church where he says, my prayer is that your love may abound more and more. Geez, I didn't know that Jerry would get me choked up on my first Sunday. I mean, wow, the Holy Spirit must be with her. But it was so beautiful to me to see a charter member of this congregation talk about how she prays for this place. And I just know that her prayer is the same prayer as Paul's prayer. It's a prayer of love. And this is my prayer, Paul says, that your love may abound more and more. I've had those words ringing in my ear this week as I've met so many of you. I've got a lot of meetings still to have, a lot of you I haven't met yet. But so far, the people that I have met have said two consistent things about this church. You love each other. You love being with each other. And you love the mission and the ministry that is done in this place. And so as we begin our ministry together, I think it is right to begin with that place of love. We find in Scripture that we love because God first loved us. And so if we love each other well and serve each other well, we have everything we need. After all, what does it say that the greatest commandment is required of us? To love God and to love one another. I'm really interested in that intersection between the love that we have for one another in mission and the love that we have for one another in this place. Where does one stop and the other begin? Where does our worship end and our mission and our ministry begin? Where does communion end and lunch begin? For me, these things run together all the time, and they should. We're not just Christians for 1 hour on Sunday. Our responsibility to love God and love neighbor doesn't end the minute that we come into this door or go out of them. My prayer is that your love for one another would abound more and more, Paul says, in the sanctuary, in the streets, in our homes. There's an Episcopal author by the name of Sarah Miles, and she wrote a book called Take This Bread that I highly commend to you. It's a wonderful spiritual memoir, and she says this, faith for me isn't an argument, a catechism, a philosophical proof. It is instead a lens, a way of experiencing life, and a willingness to act. I think that's exactly right. Our faith isn't just an intellectual exercise. It's the way that we live and we act and we move and be in the world. And so if we have strict lines about where our worship ends and where our ministry begins, or where our communion ends and our lunch begins, we're missing out on one of the most crucial elements of our Christian faith. In Sarah Miles' Episcopal Church, she made this connection between this meal and the meal that so many are needing to eat. And so they had a food pantry with fresh food, fresh produce, right in the sanctuary. People could come in and they could have this meal, but then they could get the food that they needed to go out into the world. And just yesterday, as I was here in my office and realizing that there was also a PADS meeting happening, I realized that this church does the same thing. This isn't just a house of worship. This is a place of ministry and of healing. What does it mean to go from this table and then feed others? A few years ago, my husband Elias and I were both ministering in different church communities. The church that I pastored began at 11 o'clock, and then his was in the afternoon. And on this particular day, there was a community celebration at his congregation, and so we decided to go from the service where I was leading worship over to his, and we knew that it was going to be lunch and then a service. But I thought that it was lunch and then the service, but it was actually the service and then lunch. And so I had our three, or at the time, two little ones, and immediately, what do I start hearing? I'm hungry. And Clayton at the time was about three. And did I mention this was a communion service? I should mention that. This is a communion service. And so I said to him, I'm sorry, I know you're hungry, but the food is coming. The food is coming. Well, we get to communion, and a tiny tray of bread comes by. And as the bread is being passed, I can see the wheels turning in this child's mind. And just as if on cue, he says, that is not going to be enough food. He was totally right. This is not enough food. It's not enough food for all of the things that we need. This tiny square of bread and this tiny sip of juice is not intended to be all that we need. And this is why the early church had communion in the context of a full feast, a full banquet. And this is why today I'd like for us to imagine that this feast is only the beginning of the feast that we're going to have together as we celebrate our church picnic. Our ministry doesn't end the minute that we leave these doors. Our fellowship doesn't end when the passing of the peace is over. Paul says, my prayer is that your love may abound more and more. Start with love. The Bible says it. God is love. The Beatles even said it. All you need is love. I did see a nice corrective for this one time on a t-shirt that said, all you need is love and coffee. And that is a message that I can endorse. Is it really that simple? Is it really so simple that all we need is love? Well, yes and no. I do believe that it is that simple, that as Christians we are to be about the business of love, just as God is about the business of love. God loves us so lavishly and without any condition. Why? Just because God chooses to love us. It's a circle. God loves us because God loves us. We don't have to do anything to earn this love. It is simply God's grace to us. What we do with this love, what we do with this grace, how we explain it, how we live it out in the world, that's what makes all the difference. And that's maybe not as easy. We live in partnership and love and community with one another. But in the middle of that holy mess is where we find God. And we know that there are people like Jerry and like Paul who are praying for us as we do this. My prayer, Paul says, is that your love for one another would abound more and more. So friends, as we begin our ministry together, let's start there. Let's start with love. Thanks be to God. Amen.